This is Doug Miller. To whom the Lord hath given much, from him will the Lord require much. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. We are back again. Word of God in hand. We're looking at Stephen's sermon, or defense, if you wish to look at it that way, before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. It's in the 7th chapter of Acts. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Acts 7. We will begin at probably at verse 44. That's kind of where we ended up last time. And we'll probably get through this book or this sermon and through this chapter today. So delighted to have you with us. Open up to Acts 7. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that wishes to do one thing and one thing only: get this word out as far and to as many as we can get it out to. And, of course, that requires some effort. That requires effort on our part. And you know what? It requires effort on our listeners' part, too. If you say, well, I didn't sign up for anything. No, you didn't. I understand that. But I'm talking to those of you who really have an interest in Dialogue, and that's many of you out there. You've been listening for years probably to Dialogue, and your interest is with us, and you have shown that. So pray for us. I'm telling you, we cannot exist and go on at all without your prayers. And if you may not really think about this much, but this many times is quite difficult, and it can get quite discouraging. And, you know, getting on here week after week, it can be it can keep you going. And we need your prayers, so pray for us. Tell others about us. This is a faith ministry. We are utterly dependent upon our listeners. Okay, we would love to hear from you, of course. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Or if you're one of these email cats, you know, you like to get on there and on your little handy-dandy computer and write emails, that'll be fine, too. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net, and we'll read your letters and frame some sort of answer to you. And our webpage, dialogueministries.org. Once again, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries.org. Our messages are on there, and along with our other messages, the messages from the recent prophecy conference at Camp Klassen are on there. And you can listen to these, no charge, no obligation. There's never any charge or any obligation with regard to Dialogue. We love you. We are just so appreciative of those who listen to Dialogue and have for many years. All right, 7th chapter of Acts. We are looking and have been looking at the God of glory. We saw God, the God of glory, appearing unto Abraham in Mesopotamia when he was living in Ur of the Chaldees. The God of glory, who, you know, is very much figured in the person of Joseph. And what do we see all along? And we were looking at this last time. We see Israel, this favored people, this people of a favored status, rejecting the God of glory. We see them in rebellion from the very first. They rebelled against Joseph, sold him into slavery, and they rebelled against Moses. We saw that last time. And yet the God of glory has been in their midst. Think of this. By the time Moses came along, we have the tabernacle built according to the pattern that God had showed Moses in the very midst of his people Israel. And incidentally, the thing that characterizes the people of God in this dispensation or any other is the glorified Lord in the midst. For those of you who say, well, I went to church last Sunday and I didn't see the glorified Lord in our midst. Friends, if you are saved, and I am talking about saved now, if you are in a redeemed company, you may count on it because of God's word that the glorified, exalted Christ is in your midst. He's the one you've been drawn to. And that's exactly the case with the children of Israel. And we saw them back here in wandering in the wilderness. But what they had was that tabernacle. And in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat and the two cherubim bending over the mercy seat where the blood of the slain sacrifice was placed on the Atonement Day. And we have in that within that Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory. And we have over the tabernacle a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And what do we see the people of Israel doing? We saw it last time. They make an idol for themselves. And they say, we want to go back to Egypt. And of course, the wrath of God fell on them and fell hard. We saw last time, if you will recall, we saw the prophet Moses telling the people of Israel that the Lord would raise up a prophet to them of your brethren like unto me, and him ye shall hear. This prophet, and incidentally, if you wish to read of that, it is back in the book of Deuteronomy, and it is in the book of Exodus as well. But if you want to read Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18, you can read where Moses actually said this. Now, you can also go ahead and move ahead up to the first chapter of John's Gospel, and when John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, the people come out from Jerusalem, sent out by the scribes and Pharisees, and they confront him. And they said to him, one of the questions they asked, are you Messiah? He said, I'm not. Are you then that prophet? This is what they were talking about, a prophet that Moses had prophesied about, one who would come who would be that prophet. And John the Baptist again said, I am not, but there is one coming after me, mightier than I, whose shoelaces I am not worthy to unloose. This is the one. This is Messiah. This is the prophet. Well, of course, he came, and what did he get but rejected and crucified, just as Joseph was rejected, just as Moses was rejected, and just ultimately as God the Father was rejected. This is very difficult stuff to read, and it is not easy to sit up here and talk about in front of this mic, knowing that it's going out to many people. We live in a world today absolutely swallowed up in darkness and confusion and misinformation. We live in a world today in which if you tell someone the truth, they want to drag you out up before, and sue you. I've been defamed. This man, is hurting my feelings, and so on and so forth. Friends, let me hurt your feelings if that's what I'm doing. You need to hear the truth. There are lies being told out there this life, for example, that we all worship the same God. All of us out here, Jews, Christians, Muslims, we're all worshiping the same God. And after all, what is God but what you conceive him to be? What a lie. These lies are right out of the pit. The true and the only God, Yahweh, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father, the triune God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God, and he is the only God, and there is no other. And any God who is not the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not the true God. And these people back here, Israel, back in the wilderness, the God that had been introduced to them is in fact the triune God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It doesn't mean there's just one in the sense of one person, but he is a unity. He is unified. And to reject that truth is to reject the true God. And we see this going on over and over and over again to the point now that what we finally have is Israel rejected from the land and dragged away into captivity and ultimately in 70 AD kicked out into the dispersion. And finally, we have a remnant back in Israel right now. Praise the Lord. And once again, at the expense of repeating myself, I'm behind them 1,000%. I'm more for them than many of the Jews in this country are for them. But I'm telling you, they're back in the land in unbelief, just as Ezekiel said they would be in his prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones. And the individuals back there, even the Orthodox who say they are worshiping Yahweh, they are doing nothing of the sort. Because the Bible says back in 1 John, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. They are into idolatry, but they won't stay that way. But that's a whole other story. Let's look now at the tabernacle in the wilderness in verse 44. Moses built it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus or Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High, look at verse 48, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? I want you who are listening to me to get hold of this. There is no today holy place. For those of you who think that St. Peter's in Rome is somehow holier than other places, you had better guess again. It is not. For those of you who think that the tabernacle in Salt Lake City is holier than other places, or that, you know, Westminster Abbey is holy, or you just go down the list, or that some church somewhere has some holy significance to it, God does not. This word is as clear as God could make it. Dwell in places made with hands. Not anymore. There was a time when he dwelt in the tabernacle. There was a time when the Shekinah glory filled the temple of Solomon when it was first built. But that day is long gone and long over and long past. The Shekinah glory departed. Read Ezekiel the prophet. And you will see very clear the departing of the glory out of the temple. And the temple's not there now anyway. It's all gone, all torn down. And what God is doing now, he's doing in a very different way than he was back then. And it's important you understand this. We in this world now have a different message that has come out to us. And the message is not go to some certain place and slay a lamb and put the blood on the altar. Or go to a certain place and watch someone, you know, mumble a bunch of Latin phrases and turn bread into flesh and wine into blood. That's not the message. The message is that the Lord Jesus Christ, once for all on Calvary, yielded up his life. He will never be slain again. The sacrifice will never be slain again. As we sing sometimes, no blood, no altar now. The sacrifice is o'er. No flame, no smoke ascends on high. The lamb is slain no more, but richer blood has flowed from nobler veins to cleanse the soul from sin and cleanse the reddest stains. That is the message. And the message has gone out to the world, and we are now invited to believe the gospel and to be saved. Now, we in this country, in many ways, I think, are much like the Jews. Look at what Stephen says to them. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. That's the condemnation. God came out to you. God revealed himself to you. God has come among you in the person of his Son. God has spoken repeatedly. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. The God of glory has finally and ultimately appeared in our midst in the person of his Son. And what has been the result? Rejection, rebellion. You always resist. Now, you know, once again, these are hard words. And I can only sit here and tell you these things if I keep reminding you. You're listening to me. I'm telling you. If I don't love you, then I don't know who you think would. I do love you, all of you Jews out there, enough to tell you the truth. Now let me talk to you Gentiles. If you think you're any better off than the Jews, if you come off any better, guess again, you do not. If anything, you're going to come off even worse. Why? Because from the very outset in this country we are living in, you have had the Word of God in hand, preached and taught on street corners, in buildings, out in the wilderness, in revivals, in camp meetings. The Word of God has gone the length and breadth of this land, and the gospel has been out there. And what have we done with it? Well, you say, yeah, well, we're all Christians here. Yeah, we're all Christians. Don't tell me that. You think I'm stupid somehow? You think I can't see what's going on? 70% of the people out there in America claim to be born-again Christians in one way or another. Yeah, I'm born again. I will absolutely guarantee you that not 10% of the people in this country could even tell me what the gospel is. What is the gospel? How do you define it? You've heard me say this on here before. We have had the truth given to us, and we have rejected it just like Israel did. Well, what happened to Israel? What happened to Israel is exactly what's going to happen to this country, and I am persuaded it's not too far off. And I would like to be able to tell you that I think it can be turned around. I do not. I believe we are in for very difficult times, because look at our nation, and what do you see? Violence. Violence. Crime. Rejection of the truth. Absolutely hatred of God. Individuals out there doing everything they can to try to destroy the gospel. And I mean, they are in courts of the land trying to stop the absolute mention of Jesus Christ in our schools, in our places at work. They will absolutely, if they are given the chance, destroy God out from among us. Well, some of you are saying, well, yeah, but that's the lunatic fringe. That's just a minute. That's not most of us. No, you're right. It's not most of us. Most of us don't know enough about God or the gospel or what's in this word to be able to even answer anyone who says there is no God. Someone says to you, I'd like to be saved. How do I get saved? What do? Hand them some prayer that someone else wrote down and say, well, here, just repeat this prayer and you'll be saved. I've got news for you. The gospel is very clear, and we are coming down to the end of this program, and I want you to see that when Stephen said what he said to them, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, and ears, resisting the Holy Ghost. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. That is the message, and it's exactly the message that the Lord Jesus Christ left. Go back and read the 23rd chapter of Matthew. What did he say at the end of that chapter? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Stoning the prophets, killing those that are sent to you. To whom much is given, of him will much be required. And much was given to these individuals, and much was required of them. They could not wait to get rid of God, to get him out from among them. And friends, As I've just said, it is my sad duty to tell you, I don't think we're much different in this country right now. I don't think we're any better off at all. We have had light, much light, and we as a people have rejected that light. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. Well, isn't that interesting? Let me tell you something. When the word of God goes out in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit, if you are listening honestly, it ought to cut you to the heart. But if it cuts you to the heart, there can be one of two reactions. One is you get angry and try to destroy the person who preaches the word to you, which is what these guys did here. Look at them. They gnashed on him with their teeth. And of course, as we will see, they dragged him out and stoned him, killed him, did exactly to him what they said they were going to, you know, what he said they had done to the other prophets. The other reaction, the proper reaction, is to say what we saw earlier, a group saying in Jerusalem to Peter, what shall we do? Repent and believe. That's what you do. I don't care who you are or what you are. God is waiting because of the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son to forgive you and cleanse you and give you salvation. You turn to him and receive the gospel and believe the gospel and be saved. It's just that simple. Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.